Recent U.S. data shows 92% of young people who have heard of the R word heard it used as a slur first. And let's be honest, we are seeing an increase in the use of this word, and organizations like Special Olympics are working to combat it in society. We spoke more about that work with Andrea Kahn, who is the Senior Vice President of Unified Champion Schools, working closely with Special Olympics. And Andrea, I thank you so much for giving us the time here on WICC and talking about this. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm fine, and I'm very pleased to be able to join you this morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. First of all, talk about that connection, how Special Olympics then is connected to Unified Champion Schools.
Sure. Unified Champion Schools is a big program of Special Olympics where students with and without intellectual disabilities play together on the same teams for their schools. They join unified clubs where the students co-lead activities together to promote inclusion in their school, to create a sense of belonging for everyone. And they get the entire school involved in an awareness and a building a culture of inclusion, basically. So Unified Champion Schools are in schools across the country. We have about 13,000 schools now, I believe. Connecticut is a big state for our Unified Champion Schools program as well.
Andrea, I want to get right into this topic of the R word. And these questions may feel elementary, so I appreciate you giving us the time on this. But where does the R word stem from, or what does it refer to specifically?
It's a good question, and I don't know that. I think you're right. Not many people know exactly where it came from, but it's actually a medical term. Mental retardation was introduced as a medical term back in the early 60s. And so, as is often the case, a medical term can turn into a slur or a pejorative depending on the usage. It's not the term itself, mental retardation, that is so problematic, but it when it's used in a way that is pejorative, then it becomes a slur. And that word was, you know, in the medical field for a number of years, but because it had become something that the population of people with intellectual disabilities and their families really found to be problematic because of the way it was used as a weapon, there was a big campaign to get rid of the use of it. And the athletes of Special Olympics were very vocal in that, and they looked to Special Olympics to help try and do something about it. But it's just one of those words that took on a life of its own because people wanted to, make fun of people. Medical diagnoses have been used as a way to diminish and demean people with different situations for hundreds of years. That isn't something new. But this word really hit a nerve with the population of people with intellectual disability, and they really decided to make an effort to get people to stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they did. Andrea, I know for myself, it became very prevalent in the 90s when my younger brother was born. He is on the autism spectrum, very high functioning. And True story, Andrea, and I honestly am very proud of it. It's one of my proud moments from childhood, although I'm sure people would say otherwise. My brother went to school with me, and before he was given services and everything, he was nonverbal. And true story, his classroom was across the room from mine, and he came in and he was upset one of the days. And so I went to go help. My teacher knew, you know, if my brother was having a hard time, I could go over and help him. And when I came back to my classroom, we were in second grade, and a girl in my class said, I guess the R word runs in the family. I socked her right in the face without any hesitation. I mean, I almost got kicked out of the second grade. But I did it because it is such a term that to me is just beyond offensive. It really is such an insulting word when people especially don't know what it means. and don't even know the history of it and who it even correlates to. And I felt like it kind of went away for a little bit. Like I said, that's how much it's a trigger word for me. But I felt like I didn't hear it for a while. Like I felt like in the 2000s, it really wasn't used as much, or I wasn't hearing it as an insult. Now, all of a sudden, in the last few years, I'm hearing it resurge again. Now, I don't know if that's just me or if you guys are seeing that, but I do feel like in recent years, it's almost getting a life again, and I'm really not sure why.
Yeah, I think that there have been a couple of studies done that show that it is on the increase. A 2025 study showed a definite increase in social media posts with the R word. I think, first of all, I just want to applaud you as a second grader for being such an upstander for your brother. And we find that it is siblings in many cases who are at the front of this campaign and this effort to educate people about the word and how hurtful and harmful and demeaning it is. Because I do think that many, especially young people, use the word like they might use any kind of slangy word to make fun of their friend. They often say, well, I am not calling a person who has an intellectual disability this word. I'm just using the word as a way to make fun of my friend. And what they don't realize is that that's the whole point. You're making fun of somebody by calling them something which is actually a medical diagnosis, which means that that person who may have that, may be associated with that term is being made fun of too. They are being demeaned by your using that word. And that may be a little bit, meta for people to understand, but it is so triggering to the people to whom that word means something that I don't know why, once you know that, you would continue to use the word. It's just, there's so many other words that you could use if you wanted to tease your friend or call something silly or uncool or whatever it is you're trying to say. To me, it's language that is lazy. So it's just so lazy. And when lazy is hurtful, then there just doesn't seem to be a reason for it. I think that is how in the early 2000s, the athletes and their families of Special Olympics tried to approach it to use it as a way to educate people that that inclusion is important, and including people with any ability, all abilities, is really, who we want to be as people, and that this was a great way to show your support of people who may be different from you. And that's why we saw a lot of success. I think you're right that we had a huge impact on the use of the word. It did start to become something that people were self-policing with. I would see, even on television, comedians or people in an interview would call, somebody out and say, hey, don't use that word. And I think that started to have an impact, and people started to understand. And I believe that our Spread the Word to End the Word campaign that was started in Special Olympics and that we introduced through Unified Champion Schools and really became a cause for students across the country, I think that made a difference as well. Mm-hmm. But it has seen a little bit of a comeback because there are people who just don't want to be limited in how they talk. They're very adamant that there should be no restrictions on the way they talk about things, and that maybe it seems a little bit, unbold to not use this kind of language. But I think they've completely forgotten that it may be hurting somebody's feelings. Boldness is great if you're not hurting someone's feelings and
right.
You're not making them feel diminished.
Right. It's the weight of that word, certainly. Recent U.S. data shows 92% of young people who have heard the R word heard it first as a slur. And so we're seeing an increase in the use of this word, and I wanted to have a conversation about it. Special Olympics here in Connecticut has been working really hard to make people more aware, educate people more on how this term is really offensive. It's very insulting. And we are talking today to Andrea Kahn, who is the Senior Vice President of Unified Champion Schools. And Andrea, I guess what I would love to hear from you is what we can do to educate adults and in turn educate our kids better about this word, especially because going back, just bringing back the example of my brother, one of the hardest parts was that, especially once he started speaking, most of his childhood, nobody knew he had a problem. They just knew he was odd or different or strange, if you will. And so they were more inclined to call him that. And I think that's what I feel like. I wish parents could have been like, hey, you don't have to have a physical disability to have something going on that makes you different, but it does not give you the right to start using words that you don't even know how to define. And so what would be your advice for adults to get better educated? Because a lot of times we've even seen adults using this word irresponsibly, quite frankly, but then in turn teaching their kids about it.
Yeah, I think that that education is the key, and I think, as I mentioned before, it seems to me that the primary piece of education is to know that people who are different and are called this are mortified, insulted, degraded, and dehumanized when that word is used, and in many ways that should be enough. But I think that the crux of education also is to understand the why. And if we are trying to create an environment where difference isn't a boogeyman, that people who are a little bit different aren't called names, period. It doesn't matter what your diagnosis or what your school status is, whether you're in special education or you have an IEP or you get a little extra help with your homework. These things shouldn't be something that we make fun of people about. We don't make fun of people who are in a wheelchair. We don't make fun of people who broke their leg and they're using crutches. We don't make fun of people who need a little extra help to get across the street. And it's just part of educating people to have empathy and to be accepting of people who might need a little extra help. I think that is really what it comes down to, is making sure that we're providing that understanding that there are all kinds of people and all people are deserving of respect and dignity and a place, and everybody wants to feel like they belong. I think that kids and adults, we're all a little bit tribal, right? And we all try to kind of form groups around the people that are our close friends or that are most like us. I think school is a very tribal place. You know, cliques are formed and have always been formed for different groups of friend groups or interest groups. And I think that understanding that it doesn't matter what group you're in, you're still valued. You should be valued and you should be accepted. And there's something that every single person brings to the table. Mm-hmm. That's what our work at Unified Champion Schools is supposed to help with, and we see that it makes a difference when you do provide that education. I think parents just need to have those conversations with their kids.
Yeah, and I think just getting real about it, even with ourselves. You know, it's interesting, Andrea, but I certainly am not above, you know, if I have peers or friends or just people in the community who are adults and they use that word. I mean, 30 plus years strong of me going, hey, we don't use that word. I am not above treating somebody like a first grader. And you know, my producer can attest to that. I've literally corrected full grown adults who use that word. And I'm like, hey, not around me. At least that's the least you could do, is respect me and that I don't want to hear that word used. You know, and so I think if we can have honest conversation, even with adults, let alone also, you know, then mirroring those conversations with children, I think that certainly goes hopefully a long way, especially if, as we're seeing the uptick in the use of this word. And Andrea, I want to thank you and the many who are part of Unified Champion Schools, Special Olympics, to try and combat this issue as well socially. I really do appreciate the work that you guys do for that and so much more, serving so many people across America who need your help. And I thank you so much for that. And thank you for joining us here on WICC.